This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. If you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good Thursday to you. Thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call. We got a throwback Thursday today, and one that has got really significant importance, even when you translate what happened on this day into 2021. We've got that for you coming up. Tonight, we got two preseason NFL games. Told you yesterday, look, people like to overreact to preseason games. It's kind of what we do. We're fans. We want some of the things that we watch to have value. It may be overreaction, yeah, but that's what we do. And tonight, two fan bases, especially, actually three if you really want to get into it, with the Steelers and their concern about what's going to happen down the road. The Eagles and the Patriots are both coming in with sort of question marks about their quarterback situation. Is Jalen Hurts ready to take the next step for the Eagles? And Cam Newton, and is Mac Jones, the rookie, going to supplant him as a starter eventually? Those answers obviously are not going to be answered tonight at all. This is a preseason game just to get the legs stretched and just to play some football and get the rust off. But, again, look for these sort of over analysis of what you may see tonight. And even into the weekend, as we'll have games on Friday and Saturday, it is a country that is just ready to dive right back into the football swimming pool. That is what happens at this time of year. It is the longest off season of any sport. And I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, think about where you were on Super Bowl Sunday up until now, when your team is playing probably its first preseason game if you're not a Cowboys or a Steelers fan. It is a long time. And it is a long time of speculation, and it is a long time of whether or not this is going to work for our team or that's going to work for our team. And maybe your team's got a new coach, or going through a quarterback battle, or you like the draft class, or you hate the draft class, or your division is wide open, or maybe it's too tight. And so naturally, when you get games like this, what you'll see tonight, there's going to be an emphasis on, did I see anything? Did I see this particular player throw a pass that I liked? Did I see a particular decision on the field that I liked or hated? That is what you're going to get tonight. But coming up next, Throwback Thursday, and the significance of this date even into today. We have a lot of fun with Throwback Thursday. This one, not so fun, but we're still feeling some of the effects, even though it happened quite a while ago. That's next on Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio.
Gotta keep them separated.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, it's a Throwback Thursday, and we are going back to 1994. And I said earlier that what happened on this date in 1994, there are still residual effects that are going on today. And that was the start of the 1994 Major League Baseball strike. This was the date in which the players went on strike and ended up canceling the World Series. And when I say the ramifications of this strike are still being felt today, it's really in two capacities. One, even though Cal Ripken would break the consecutive game streak a year later, and we had the home run race in the late 90s, there's still a lot of people who have just given up on baseball and who never went back. It really took a huge hit from the fans. But the second thing was, the main reason why this strike went down didn't get resolved, and Major League Baseball still doesn't have a salary cap, and there are still large market and small market clubs. They've done some things with luxury tax and whatnot, but we still have a sport in which if you start your career in a Pittsburgh or a Kansas City, it is very unlikely that you will stay there. It is very unlikely that you will stay long term. Eventually, if you become a star, you will venture off somewhere else, and that's still in play. This is what the owners wanted to change, but the players back at the time said that is not an us problem. That is really you guys not getting your house in order. So because of that, we're not taking any sort of step back in the growth of our salary to play this game. You're not going to limit us in a salary cap situation. We've seen it in other sports. We don't have it, and we have some power here, and we're not going to have it thrown at us. Donald Fair, who became one of the more hated guys in all of sports because he represented the players, He flat out refused this back in early part of the negotiations, and it led to this. I remember being an early reporter. I mean, I just had gotten out of college. I remember my boss telling me that it wasn't going to last. I remember he was like, yeah, this won't last. And I kind of believed him for a bit, and I had no idea that they would actually let the World Series get canceled. In the end, I thought both sides would sit in a room and never leave it in order to have a World Series, but they didn't. And we lost not only the World Series, we lost some tremendous performances that year. We do not know how Tony Gwynn's season would have ended up, or the Montreal Expos season, or Matt Williams' season. It was really, really a sad state for baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and like you said, the ramifications could still be felt today.
Yep, sure.
You know, I mean, I kind of look at it this way that, I mean, football was already on the incline. But baseball was still supreme at that moment.
It still had a real presence, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't feel that way today, but baseball still had a real significance in the American landscape.
But once they announced that the World Series was canceled, all of a sudden baseball became your grandfather's sport overnight.
Yeah, it really did. And you're right about that because I think people can get over, they may not really like it, but they can get over a disruption. Right. They can go, yeah. Okay, we lost 25 games or we lost the month of August, early September. But when you take the postseason away, when you take the postseason away because two sides could not agree over millions and millions of dollars. Right. When you do that to the fan base, you've got a lot of explaining to do and you've got a lot of ground to make up. And again, celebrating a Cal Ripken or everybody enjoying a home run race. It does a little bit, but it doesn't do a whole lot. There are people who still really hated what happened in 1994. And think about it. And here's the other thing, too. Montreal, for example, I was having a tremendous year, and they were on their way towards a postseason berth. The Yankees, although they would make the playoffs in 95 and, of course, starting to win World Series in 96, the Yankees had gone a long time without making the playoffs, and they were in first place. And so a whole bunch of Yankee fans were really ticked off that the Yankees weren't going to get a chance to go to the postseason to get Don Mattingly into the playoffs. Again, you talk about Tony Gwynn's chance to bat 400. You talk about
so close.
Matt Williams, who had like 45 home runs or something at that time at the cancellation, en route to try to catch Roger Maris before there was a Sammy Sosa and a Mark McGwire doing those things. Matt Williams was on the cusp of doing that. You know, Ken Griffey Jr. was having a fantastic season. And it was all gone. And it was in baseball and owners and players going, no, we don't care. We don't care. We're not fixing this. We're not repairing this. And you know who saved baseball from themselves? Judge Sotomayor, who's the Supreme Court justice now.
Yep.
She was a district judge back then, right? She was the one that basically, you know, had an injunction or against the owner's proposal and got baseball kind of back. They were going to use replacement players, right? They were going to bring in replacement players, and they did in spring training. I remember board-opping baseball games, Red Sox games, at the first station I worked at, and the announcers, Joe Castiglione and, I wish I could remember the other guy's name. But anyway, they were listing players no one ever heard of. These were guys that were replacement guys in spring training. And these were going to get moved up to the majors. And a matter of fact, this moment was so important. There are people through some sort of kind of 6 degrees of separation, but a little bit shorter, point to this moment as the reason Michael Jordan went back to the NBA. Because when Michael Jordan went to play baseball, there was a kind of a situation going on in baseball where he could have been used or at least asked to be a replacement player for the White Sox. And being a strong player advocate in the NBA, he did not want to do that. Eventually, I think Michael Jordan would have gone back to the NBA anyway. But people made the connection to here was a strike. Here was a labor dispute. He was very pro player in his own sport. He was going to be pro player in this sport and said, no, I'm not going to be used as a tool. So I'm going to go back to playing basketball. There are people who have made that connection. This was a major deal. Again, that you still hear about and still feel about. And it started on this state in 1994.
Well,
that's our throwback Thursday.
And I mean, you know, when you really sit back and think about it, the 95 season, I don't really remember at all.
Yeah, outside of Cal Ripken.
Yeah, outside of Cal Ripken. And all I remember about that was that game was so hype because you could circle it on a calendar when it was going to happen.
Yeah, right.
And so the day before and the day of, you were about baseball. But then you quickly, like, you know, the very next day, it's like, all right, he broke the record. And that's why, you know, we always say summer of 98 saved baseball, because it gave us something to, you know, to kind of all get behind and root for.
Yeah, and again, baseball had, you know, obviously in the 25-plus years since the strike, we've had tremendous players, good World Series teams, great moments, great seasons. But to have two sides say, we don't love the sport enough to resolve this issue. And again, I understand how deeply rooted in the trenches both sides were. I do understand that. But in the end, nothing really got resolved. Right?
No.
The owner's desire for a salary cap never got through. It was all for nothing, really. I mean, there was no change in the financial structure. And going back to that, that's the one problem people do have with baseball. Yes, a Tampa Bay Rays can manage their money right and go to the World Series. Sure, absolutely. A Kansas City Royals can win the World Series.
Yep.
But look how many stars on that Royals team don't play for the Royals anymore.
No, they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. That was the original point. Yes, the Pirates can be competitive. There's no question about that. The Pirates can be competitive. And they were a couple years ago. They were in the playoffs. But the overall point wasn't that. The point was, when it came time for that particular superstar to get a 10-year, $300 million contract, those teams are out. Those teams weren't going to do those
things. And in fact, usually we look at it and it's the same five teams over and over again.
Right.
And now, you know, we're amazed at a team like the Padres stepping up and spending money, because we've never seen that before. It's like, oh my God, the Padres... this isn't what they do. They usually bring in great talent and then sell it off to the highest bidder.
And the players were saying, "Look, you're not the horse is already out of the barn. You're never going to get us to take less money. We're always going to get more money, right? You're going to make more money. We're going to make more money. That's how it's going to work. Your rights fees keep going up. Your ticket prices keep going up. Your auxiliary money, whatever it comes out from stadiums and anything else, that is going up, and you're going to pay us in accordance with that growth." So the players, I mean, look, as much as I, you know, was sort of lambasting both sides at the time, the players were trenched into the fact that no, this isn't going to be, you guys are going to make money and then you're going to limit us. Because they were seeing what was going on in the NFL, and the NFL had a cap and was still working under the cap, and players, you know, they just said, no, we don't ever want that. NBA was doing that too. We never want that. And baseball said, well, we absolutely need it or we're going to die. And some people went through the economics and said, you're not really going to die. Right? So it was a real problem. But that happened in 1994, so that's our Throwback Thursday. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the preseason games tonight, but there's some news out of Indianapolis I want to get to. We told you how significant the injuries were to Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson, two real critical pieces of what the Colts' offense may be like. Maybe it's not as critical as people first thought. I got that story coming up next on Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It is a Throwback Thursday, 1994 on this date. The Major League Baseball players went on strike, and it ended up canceling the World Series, among other things. So I was telling you about a week ago, about Carson Wentz and his foot injury, and then Quentin Nelson's foot injury, and ironically, they both had the same timetable for recovery, both 5 to 12 weeks, which is basically the NFL's way of saying, we're not really sure. Could be tomorrow, could be 6 months from now. We're not sure. That, I mean, 5 to 12 weeks is a long period of time. I mean, it's a dramatic difference. I mean, I know it's 7 weeks on the calendar, but it's tremendous when you're talking in the NFL, because it could mean these guys come back in week one, because the 5 weeks from the start of training camp into the first week of the season is about 5 weeks, or it could mean that they don't play until after Halloween. But This was dire for the Colts, right? Because they have Jacob Eason, and then they have Sam Ehlinger as backups. There was a possible chance they may call Philip Rivers after if they determine they need a quarterback. But Rivers is coaching high school football, so he probably wouldn't be available till October. Quentin Nelson is one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. So these were two significant injuries. And if you're a pessimist, you might start going, we're going to be out our quarterback and our offensive lineman until Halloween, because 12 weeks, that's about where it's going to land. But it's now a source has said that both guys could be available by week one. Now, this would be tremendous for the Colts if this is actually true. But we shall see, because I have always been really cautious about these kind of things. Let's be honest. These guys just had surgery about, 10 days ago, right? Now, the doctors can say that it looks great. It went well. It's going to heal. We have an idea about rehab. But these are individual players. And you don't know how rehab works. You don't know how it may shake out. So optimistically, it's great that both of these guys have had surgery and they're working on their, ankles and going through rehab. And maybe be ready by week one, the season opener, when they take on the Seahawks. But I'll back off a little bit. What I will say this, if this news and this source is getting its information through some sort of medical angle, I don't know how much the doctors who perform these surgeries are publicly talking about how good the surgery is. Or maybe there's some insider on the team that is saying, hey, we got it on good authority that these surgeries went really, really well. And there's a tremendous optimism that these guys will be able to be better than ever when the season starts in September. Then you should feel like, okay, even at the worst, it's not going to be Halloween. It's not going to go the 12 weeks, and they'll be back relatively soon. So that's very, very good news for Indianapolis. Because if there is a team that has been sort of bitten by the injury bug over in terms of their quarterback over the last few, about the last decade or so, it has been the Indianapolis Colts. Think about losing Peyton Manning to a neck injury. Think about this for a second. Peyton Manning has a neck injury, and he's out, right? Now, he recovers from that and puts up amazing numbers for the Denver Broncos, leads them to two Super Bowls, winning one, albeit that final year, he was kind of hobbling a bit. But in the process of waiting out Manning's injury, they stunk so bad that they had Andrew Luck on the board and grabbed Andrew Luck. Now, I can remember everybody arguing about this going, you know what? Great, good for Indianapolis, right? We don't know about Peyton Manning's neck, and you got to go to the next franchise quarterback. Nobody's more NFL ready coming out of college than Andrew Luck. This is a no-brainer. This isn't taking a chance on a kid. This isn't going to be putting your faith into the development of a backup quarterback or into the starting role. None of this stuff. The Colts were going to get a ready-made NFL superstar out of Stanford. So, yeah, that's awesome. Who would have thought years later, he would have been, I'm pretty beat up and I'm done and I'm not even 30. And meanwhile, Manning was, going to two Super Bowls. Luck a couple of years ago announced his retirement. Now you get Carson Wentz, who's trying to rehab his career, playing for a former assistant coach in Frank Reich, who knows him really well, with all sorts of tools to be successful, coming off a playoff year, and bam, ankle foot injury, 5 to 12 weeks, needing surgery on August 2nd. And oh, by the way, the main reason that we talk about the weapons on this offense have to do with the offensive line, and Quentin Nelson, the best offensive lineman on the team, if not the league, he's out too. Man, injuries happen. We know that in this league, but goodness gracious, what a decade for the Colts, and just in terms of the quarterback position. So this is good news, right? This is going to be good news. If Carson Wentz can play week one, this is good news for this team.
Yeah.
Because, look, do you want to call Phillip Rivers? Do you really want to? Yeah, I guess if it comes down to it. But Sam Ehlinger isn't
but
ready.
But again, like you said, Phillip Rivers, the earliest he'd probably be was late October. By that moment, your season pretty much has been decided.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, even on a 17-game schedule.
I know. Jacoby Brissett's still on the team, right?
No, he's not.
No, he's not?
Yeah, they let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Jacoby Brissett would have been 2020. Fantastic. This is why, yeah, right? Yeah, this is why Sam Ehlinger, the rookie out of the sixth round of the draft,
right,
and Jacob Eason will be vying for the job until Carson Wentz comes back. So,
and that's iffy because we know Carson Wentz's history.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I know that he moved on to a better, or what we presume to be a better situation. He's, paired up with his old quarterbacks coach from the Eagles.
Yeah, sure.
When he was having his MVP season, but we can't escape the fact that last year he had the, I guess, what we call it, the yips.
Oh, that's a good way to put that. Sure.
He just couldn't do anything right, and that's why we saw him get ousted from the Eagles.
Yeah,
If
there was anybody who needed a refresh button, yeah, it was Carson Wentz.
And so, that's another thing. Another thing to kind of factor in is, yes, you need to recover from your ankle surgery, but at the same time, where's his mental status?
His NFL career has been running through the mud.
Right? Yeah.
I don't mean that like in a, sort of gossipy dirt. That's not the analogy. The analogy is being like kind of stuck, not going forward, like playing really well, but then getting hurt and let somebody else win the Super Bowl. And then, struggling with depleted weapons and injuries and bad coaching and a bad organization. Like he's trying to there's just this, can I do this? I know I can play this on this level, but then there's circumstances where I can't, and now I have some moments where I look brilliant, and then I have moments where I don't look like the natural progression of getting better and better and better as you grow into your NFL career. This guy is like a stock market graph, right? Up, down, up, down, up, down. And he's trying to find some stability, right? He's trying to find some, hey, give me a good running game. Give me some receivers. Give me a good offensive line to protect me. Give me a defense that not is going to put me back on the field 8 seconds after I get off of it. Those are the things Indianapolis can give him, right? Those are the things Indianapolis has. And, that's why when his injury occurred and then we knew he was going to be out a while, it was like, you got to be kidding. I mean, this guy just got there. And all the list, the check boxes, as I just mentioned, and then you add to the fact that the head coach is a former assistant with the Eagles who worked with him all the time. Like all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, am I cursed at this? Like I can't catch a break. I can't complete a season. Yeah. I can't find success. When I have success, it gets taken away because somebody else steps in and does something even better than what I was doing. Right? I mean, it's just too much. I mean, the Eagles made two good playoff runs without him, with Nick Foles, right? I mean, they lost to, I think, the Saints, but that game they were really in it, remember? Remember, we were like, wow, could they pull this off again? That's what the Eagles, that's his career there. Either running for his life because the offensive line failed him, or eventually getting hurt enough that a backup quarterback comes in and
having
does a really
an MVP
good job.
Season.
Right, exactly. So you can only imagine the excitement, at least from his side, if I can come back in week one. Right,
well, because it's almost like it's necessary, because I imagine this kid's laying down on a couch talking to a sports therapist every single day of the week.
Yeah,
going, Doc, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what am I not praying to Joe Boo enough? I'm not sure what it is.
So you're right, because if they went 7 games into the season, I know again I get 17 games, and an extra playoff team, but if they're 1-6, I mean, with backup quarterbacks that don't have NFL experience. He can't save them. He's not going to be able to.
No.
That's going to be too difficult of a track. You don't know what you would. At that point, if you're 1-6, let's say, it might be a big 1-6, but whatever. If you're 1-6, you're not just trying to win a division that may be out of reach. You may be going, okay, I can still get in the wild card. But the extra wild card game opens the door up for a lot of mediocre teams. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get back to mediocre level. And then all of a sudden, all these teams that are sort of 9-8 are in play.
9-8.
Right?
Okay.
I know, this is so difficult. Yeah. Why did they do this to me?
I know you were going to say 9-7.
Of course I was.
But you did math.
Again.
Proud of you.
I should put a dollar in a jar every time I mention a 16-game scenario. So if I say, they're on pace for 10-6. Dollar in the jar.
Yep.
I'll have enough to buy a Mercedes by the time the season's over. It's a Wake Up Call, Sports Member Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is a Throwback Thursday, 1994, the day of the Major League Baseball strike. Speaking of Major League Baseball, tonight is the Field of Dreams game in Iowa. The Yankees will take on the White Sox. This is interesting. I'm going to watch this. I don't think I'm going to watch all nine innings of it.
I don't think I'm going to finish it. That's the thing. I definitely want to see the beginning.
Right. I may venture off into other things, but now what the heck? There's nothing else going on. But I may check see if the Steelers-Eagles preseason game's on, because I really want to know if Ben's got it this season. I really need to know when I watch if Ben's going to play.
Can he throw farther than 10 yards?
Yeah. If they play Ben Roethlisberger for two series, I need to know if he's got what it takes to lead this team to 17 games during the regular season. No, but this is fascinating to me because I got a question about this. This was supposed to happen last year,
right,
and it didn't, so now we're going to have it this year. This movie came out and when? 87, 89? Or 80s. It's an
80s
movie.
Late 80s.
Why are we just now doing this?
That's a great question.
Like, why did it take to 2020 before somebody in the brain trust of Major League Baseball said, hey, get to that field and reconfigure it so we can play a Major League Baseball game in some way?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't they do that in the 90s? Or, you know, I would have done it almost immediately. Are you kidding me? Like, when that guy had that field up, I would have
done
like,
it in 95.
Well, how about 95? That might have been a way to bring back the fans.
96, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, we're talking 31, 32 years since the movie's out, and now we're going to Dyersville, Iowa to play a game? Well, we didn't have the technology to take that, to make it, you know, to make it major league accessible? And we were just waiting for somebody to invent something for this to happen?
I know. It looks like they have an actual wall. Why have an actual wall? Just take the wall down.
Why are we having a wall? Yeah, exactly. I saw that too. Why are we running into the cornfield?
Just let them run into the cornfield.
Right?
If they disappear, great. You know,
right, exactly.
Bring some of those guys back.
Sure. If they disappear, it's probably was little Anthony in his little hometown wishing people away into the cornfield.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, why not? Why not have Aaron Judge back to back and he's in the cornfield?
But no, you're absolutely.
And he's
surprised.
Not coming back.
Why didn't the state of Iowa just go, you know what, baseball, we will never get a baseball team, but we can have a ceremony every summer, a 3-game series here
absolutely.
That would draw people to Iowa.
And Major League Baseball could have just dumped some money because they had to do that. They had to make it major league ready.
Yeah.
So they could have done that 25 years ago.
But the stadium's not that big, right? It's like.
No.
5,000 seat capacity or something?
Oh,
like
only
that?
8,000 tickets.
8,000?
Yeah.
Dude,
exactly.
I mean, that's nothing.
But you get a game. They're wearing the old uniforms.
I know.
So there's an old feel to the uniform.
The best. Who's the reliever for the White Sox? I can't remember that guy. Greg Kimbrough.
Craig Kimbrough.
So
we've
seen him, you know, he does that spider looking
right,
thing whenever before he pitches. So he's doing that in the photo shoot. My favorite comment was, like, why did they have to go and taxidermy Craig Kimbrough for the photo shoot?
That's funny. So, yeah, this should be interesting. This would be kind of fun.
You got to tune in. You got to.
It's going to be a cool if you're Joe Buck, that's going to be a cool check mark in the box of the things that you've gotten to do in your illustrious nepotism-backed career.
Was he able to get away from Jeopardy for the day?
Right, yeah. Was he able to?
I mean, that's a burning question. People want to know.
Yep, exactly.
I got something a little baseball related. It's rooted in pure jealousy. Because my oldest had a birthday on Monday, and so we got him MLB The Show 19 or MLB The Show 21. I'm sorry, the latest.
Did you go old game like
no.
at GameStop for $5 for your son?
No, we got him the most current one, MLB The Show. And he started playing it and it reminded me, like I went upstairs and I said, you know, I want to check out this game. And he said, it's really difficult to hit. I mean, they changed a lot of things, but one of the features I like, and I don't know if this has been throughout all these games, that he's building a team.
Yeah. They have that. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
And you earn points, and with those points, you use to buy baseball card packs like we would back in the day with stale bubblegum in it.
Yes, exactly.
And then you can turn and use those players on your roster. I'm so extremely jealous of this because, you know, last night he had an accumulated points. He was like $4 away from, you know, getting this pack of 10 cards. I was like, you know what? Go for it. Just go ahead and buy it. Just don't tell your mom.
You know? Oh, you're sending him down that cool. That's great. Good for you. So secret from mom.
He got this huge pack, and then, you know, some of the players he got. I mean, he got Jack Morris to be one of his starting pitchers. I'm like, God, I want to play now.
Because you can get older players.
You can get older players.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm like, this is fantastic. I would have a roster that would mimic, like, you know, all my childhood stars from the 80s.
Of course. That would be, you know, so fun.
Eventually. I mean, I guess it's really hard. He keeps getting, like, the same, you know, minor league players over and over again. But
do you remember the great episode of The Simpsons, Homer at the Bat?
Yes.
It's one of the classic episodes.
Yeah.
And my favorite is when Monty Burns is building his team around 1,800 players, and he's like Mordecai Three-Fingered Brown, and he's Hannes Wagner. Like, they're all dead, sir. He goes out, and he gets Daryl Strawberry, Canseco, and Steve Sachs, and oh, it was great. Mark McGuire.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, that was really the first time we saw almost a crossover where they've actually voiced their own voices.
Yeah, exactly.
We hadn't really seen that before in a cartoon, and, you know, at that scale, that magnitude.
That's you, right? That's you. Like, Monty Burns wanted players from his time. You want players from your time.
He's getting excited about this guy and that guy. And I'm like, man, you can get Mike Piazza? Grab him.
Oh, my God.
He's like, well, no, he's too much money, Dad. I'm like,
can I get Kent Herbeck, former Minnesota Twins first baseman?
He's asked me, he's like, have you ever heard this guy? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I'd put him on your roster. Put him in
second. My shortstop is Robin Yount, and my first baseman is Rod Carew.
I know. I'm looking at this list, and I'm like, oh, my God, you can get this guy and this guy. Wow. You could have so much fun.
That is fantastic. Yeah.
So, yeah, but it is rooted in jealousy a little bit because, you know, I wish I could stay up, you know, just be hibernating in my room playing a video game, no one bothering me to do dishes.
You know, I know I've said this many times, but I it bears repeating. It is fascinating to me when I see my son playing a video game and I walk in, I think he's watching television.
Yeah.
Like, it just drives me nuts. When I go, like with Madden, when I go in to see him play Madden and I go, that is as good as watching it on TV. If Fox was showing you a game from that camera angle, I would match it and it looks exactly the same. It is so incredible.
Well, listen, that's what happened to you, right? You came in one day, saw your son racing, and you're like,
yeah,
I want to try that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And like, then he got hooked.
He got the wheel and the pedal and everything, and he's racing with his friends down, you know, like online, and I'm like, God, what a world we live in. I was like, I had the joystick, you know, trying to do pole position on my Atari 2600. That's the best I could do.
Exactly.
Press the button to accelerate, right? Like, I took a lap, right? He showed me, he's like, hey, Dad, come here. And I took a lap, and I'm driving the car, and I kept spinning out and crashing. And he was like, you have to feather the gas going out of the turn. And I go, you can do that in this game? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, you like driving a car. I go, you got to understand, I'm like, I don't know if this is the right word. I'm like binary. Like, it's either on or off.
Right.
I'm either on the gas or off the gas.
No, I mean, back in our day, you couldn't press that button far enough down.
Exactly, right?
You're like, you were pressing it through the controller just to gain more speed.
So that's what I told him. I'm like, that's how I play games, right? Like auto games or whatever. I'm either driving at full speed or I'm not driving at all.
There's no brake.
There's no brake. Like, he's like feathering the brake. Like, he's going to turn. He's like barely touching the brake. Like, he's in just tapping it. And I'm like, I can't do this. I was like, my brain can't process this.
Why wouldn't you just keep your foot down the entire time?
Exactly. But, yeah, it's like I haven't played MLB The Show, but I've seen enough of the commercials for it. It looks unreal.
It even goes down to the commentary where, if you remember back in our football games, like, you know, you play Madden back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And you would hear the same lines over and over again.
Exactly.
You know, this one, I mean, it feels like you're watching something authentic. I mean, the library of the catalog of words that this AI must have is unbelievable. I mean, it must take months. I think it might be voice. I think it could be Max Vasgersian.
Oh, okay.
Or Matt Baskirgin.
Yeah.
I think he's the play-by-play guy. He must have been in there for months.
Oh, yeah, just doing every possible line that you could do. Yeah, they said the guy who took over the Madden job, like they brought him in and just said, just keep reading these.
Just everything you can possibly think of.
Come back tomorrow, here's another page. You just keep reading them. Because you're right, like you would play early Madden and you would hear John Madden go, he's going to feel that in the morning. And you'd be like, okay. And then you'd hear it again a few plays later. And then they got to a point where they would drop names, but it was an awkward sound. They would be like, Peyton Manning threw a great pass.
Right.
Right? And then you know, just the way they would just.
And then if you made up a name, it wouldn't be able to say it unless that person's name was Smith or something
right,
like that.
Right, exactly. Smith to Johnson, touchdown. And now they've said, okay, if Smith throws a pass to Johnson, just read that line.
And that part I still can't even comprehend.
Yeah.
that you've been able to program it, that you can figure that out on your own.
I got to tell you, they'd have to pay me a ton. I don't have patience for that. If I was ever at a point where they wanted me to voice a video game and they went, come in, we got about 50 pages for you to read and we'll probably do this every day for 2 weeks, I'd be like, no.
Right.
I'm like, by day two, I'm like, are we really doing this? Again, we're going to do this for the next 6 days, reading lines. And then the guy that has to take all of that audio and code it and process it for various circumstances. God bless all of you. Thank you for anybody who's ever done anything with that. Thank you for the entertainment and the hard work and the monotony of that. I really appreciate it.
I'm just curious. Is there something like, you know, you're on there for like day six or something? Like, yeah, we got to go back to page four, line 37. Can you repeat that one again? It didn't come out as clear as we had hoped.
We thought we had it was on, but you need to read like all of page six again. No one. It's amazing. Amazing. You're
deliver it with like the real authenticity that you're actually calling a game, even though you're in a sound booth.
Happy birthday to your son, by the way.
I know.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Well, this is a crazy birthday week for us.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Three birthdays within a week.
Yeah, wonderful. Just get it all done.
We'll try.
Get it all finished out. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next hour. And we're going to be previewing the Cleveland Browns, who made a nice playoff run last year. A lot of fun for the Cleveland Browns, but you know how they are in that city. Have they turned the corner, or are they just one step away from going back to the horribleness of the franchise? All right, that's coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver. In disguises, no one knows,
has a face. All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. Michael on Twitter. I'm addicted to MLB The Show. One of the coolest features is when you simulate games week by week. It'll stop on a Wednesday in June and tell you, J.D. Martinez is up with runners at second and third, bottom of the eighth, down one. Do you wish to be a hero? So you can just jump in and be J.D. Martinez.
That's fantastic.
I haven't seen that yet. That's great.
All I've seen is that, you know, as opposed to when we were playing video games back in, you know, a long time ago, I'm not going to say. The way to hit now seems really hard. Like, they made it more difficult.
It isn't just pressing a button to swing the bat.
No, you gotta center up this target thing and get the two dots to land right where the ball's going to be. Because if not, you're fouling it down, you're fouling it back, you're swinging and missing. So my son, he's like, yeah, it's really tough. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah, when he gets it, he'll be batting .675.
Right. Well, he said he played against a guy, and he said, yeah, I got run ruled.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's funny because, like, when I was a kid, I had an Atari 2600.
Of course.
And Atari 2600 had a ton of games, a ton of games, so it was the thing to have. But I remember my brother and I really wanted an Intellivision because the baseball had the 9 players. And Atari only had, like, 2 players, like 3 players, whatever it was you could set it to. But they all moved in the same direction.
Right.
So you would pitch the ball, hit the ball, and then you could move like 3 guys or 2 guys at once to get the ball and do something with it. And I always thought that's what I wanted, baseball. So, it, you know, I was always interested in the development of sports games. I mean, I just liked them. And I go back to the first real the game I had where I was really somebody was on the Commodore 64. I had Dr. J versus Larry Bird.
There you go.
It's one of the earlier EA Sports games. But I also remember EA Sports had, or maybe it wasn't EA Sports, it's another company, had a Olympic games, like summer games. And you could be a country, and if you won a medal, the computer would play the national anthem of that country. I thought that was great. Back, I mean, I was so satisfied with the simplest things. Now people are worried if a mustache doesn't make Gardner Minshew look perfect.
Right.
Right? They're like, well, that mustache, it doesn't even look like Gardner Minshew. I'm like, are you kidding me? I think the Larry Bird that I had in Dr. J versus Larry Bird was just, it was just a character.
I mean, there were, you know, players are worried about their ratings. And I'm like, do you realize that, you know, the first real baseball game I remember playing was RBI baseball where everyone was overweight?
Hey, exactly. They were short and stubby and swung that little bat.
And there were only eight teams because it was like the previous year's playoff teams. That was it. That's all. That's the only choices you had.
Real quick, I have friends who know what I do for a living, and so one time a buddy of mine said, hey, so-and-so, what do you think about so-and-so being upset about his Madden rating? And I'm like, you got to be kidding. I said, I literally couldn't care about that story.
Right.
I can't believe. I was like, good for him if he's fighting a battle with a video game company about his ratings. I don't care. But you're right. The athletes do care. They really care how they are in Madden because a lot of them grew up with it. And so their dream was to get to the NFL. But, man, you can imagine being 13 and then being in the NFL and getting on the Madden game. That must be great.